Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We are joined, as we have the privilege of being, with some regularity by Michael Cutler, an outsized contributor to the public policy debate about immigration. At the moment, seemingly swept off the front pages, where it has been for months now, by the shooting in Florida, but sure to return, as there will be, of course, renewed and tense demands for accommodations to the so-called DACA kids. Michael has been writing about these issues with great effect at Front Page Magazine, at Newsmax, the Social Contract blog. He's also got his own radio program, the Michael Cutler Hour. We're always delighted to have him with us. Thank you for joining us, Michael. Welcome back.
Always a privilege, pleasure. Thanks for having me, Frank.
You have, of course, the special benefit of firsthand experience with so many of these immigration issues from your service to our country for, as I recall, over 30 years in the Immigration and Naturalization Services. Talk a little bit, if you would, Michael, about this idea that John Kelly, the chief of staff at the White House, got himself in trouble for brooding about, which is, you know, what's the value added by some of these so-called DACA kids? Should that be a consideration? Do they get off the couch to register, for example, and is that likely to be an indication of the kind of contribution that they may or may not make to our country, were they to become citizens, have the vote, and so on?
Well, you know, that goes to a bigger issue. Is it because they didn't get off the couch? Is it that they were scared so that they didn't register? Or there's another issue, and I'm not trying to impugn General Kelly whatsoever. Certainly his service to America is significant. You know, this isn't an attack. But understand that he has no immigration experience. And what he may not be considering, and I'm sure the president is listening to him, because it seems that as his chief of staff, he holds quite a bit of influence in President Trump's world. How about the aliens who've yet to come to the United States, but would falsely claim they had been here for the required period of time? Let's remember, while they tell us DACA is about the children, it really isn't. It's a subterfuge. And I've written a bunch of articles about it. The age cutoff for the DREAM Act, which is what DACA really was an outgrowth of, was 35. And they did that because it was estimated that 90% of the illegal alien population would be able to be covered by the DREAM Act. This was never about the kids. It was about playing on Americans' traditional empathy with the most compassionate people on the planet, especially where children are concerned. And so the problem we have is that this subterfuge to do legislation without the benefit of legislation, which is what DACA was about, should not be legitimized by President Trump, because this endangers national security. And by the way, here's something to think about. The president talked about 1.8 million, the Migration Policy Institute estimates 3.6 million additional aliens would come out of the shadows. What if it's 5 million or 8 million? No interviews, no field investigations. The danger to national security and public safety is inestimable and could not be undone. But imagine what this would do to the labor situation. You could be flooding America with billions of authorized workers who have an equal right to a job as an American. Think what that would do to wages. Think what it would do to unemployment. Think what it would do to our balance of payments as more people from foreign countries send money back to their families.
These are the sorts of things that most folks in Washington aren't thinking about, Michael. And indeed, you've described some of them, at least, as immigration anarchists. And in a very interesting piece, you talked about their control of our language and therefore, in a truly Orwellian sense, their control of our understanding of the issues that we're being asked to resolve. So far from, you know, thinking about these knock-on effects, you're actually not thinking about much of anything other than how to get through the next political crisis.
Yeah, thinking seems to be out of fashion these days. Look, this isn't about political correctness. You're right for raising George Orwell. It is Orwellian. And when you look at the choice of language, Orwell's Ministry of Truth could not have concocted more interesting words. Think about the term undocumented. the alien, or they would say the immigrant, entered undocumented. That's not even a word. It's make-believe. If you run the border, you're entering without inspection. If you're entering without inspection, you pose a threat because you're trespassing. Yet the same Chuck Schumer, who said that when you trespass on critical infrastructure or national landmarks, you face 5 years in jail for a federal law he wanted to create. On the other hand, if you trespass on America, he believes you should get citizenship. The disconnect is mind-numbing.
You know, what's interesting is just today, Michael Cutler, someone sent me, I think believing that it was a contemporaneous statement by former Colorado Governor Richard Lamb, a Democrat at that. It actually was done some 15 years ago in connection with the publication of a marvelous book that I'm sure you're familiar with by Victor Davis Hanson called Mexifornia. But the statement that Governor Lamb made very briefly was there is a secret plan. He called it his secret plan, but I think he was describing what is actually going on at the moment, unbeknownst to most of us, that has the takedown of the United States as its central purpose. And it features the influx of illegal aliens. It features this whole diversity agenda. It features sort of the jettisoning of that core foundational vision of our founders, that the, you know, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. Would you walk us through that issue for our better understanding of what we should be thinking about?
Well, if you want the poster child, think about Nancy Pelosi deriding white America. You know, if you were to say that about any other ethnic or racial group in America, people would be out with pitchforks and demand her scalp. But she seemed to feel very comfortable talking about how her six-year-old grandson at his birthday party bemoaned the fact that he had to suffer because he had white skin, not the wonderful brown skin of his friend, who I believe hails from Guatemala. I've never seen America more openly racist against its own citizens, particularly white people. You know, I've told my kids that skin color should be taken no more seriously than eye color or hair color. But what's really being sown in America today is dissension. And you have people that won't watch one program over another. If it's conservative, it's liberal. We've been pushed, put into two warring camps. We're doing this with politics. We're doing it with race. If you look at the pollsters who are out there, I wrote a piece a while back. I said we were being shafted by the polls. I'm registered as a Democrat. Democrats used to stand for American workers. Today, the Democratic Party, even more than the Republican Party, seeks to undermine the livelihoods of American workers. To put it in context, look at the way the Russians have meddled with the electoral process. I don't doubt that they've tried, but they're also meddling with free speech on college campuses. When you look at Antifa, when you look at the acrimony, the fact that Americans don't speak with one another any longer, this is a divide and conquer strategy, and all too many people are willing to fall victim to it because they're being stampeded like a herd of cattle, you know?
Yeah. And as you're so right to say, and this is really the point that I think Governor Lamb was making too, division, disunity begets dismemberment. It's just axiomatic. And he was describing this as part of, as I believe Victor Davis Hanson does as well, part of the takedown of Western civilization. And whether it's being aided and abetted by the Russians or the Chinese or anybody exterior to our border, it's certainly being undertaken by people internal. You and I both swore oaths at various points in our careers to protect our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And one of the things that we try to do in this program, and you help us with greatly, Michael Cutler, is understanding the latter and seeing what we can do to muster out against them. Thank you for your time today, Michael Cutler. It's always great to talk with you and your contributions at Front Page, Newsmax, Social Contract, and of course, check out the Michael Cutler Hour as well. They're all deeply appreciated, and I hope you'll come back to us again very soon, as will, I hope, the rest of you tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.